Thank you for the question. Where are the terrorists? Well, they are out there, and they are funded through illicit means. Having said that, so that should be acknowledged. It should not be dismissed in any form or fashion. But to push back against what I think is a conventional, growing conventional wisdom about a nexus, a sort of integration or growing relationship between organized crime and terrorists, I would push back by making just a few points about that. One is that, for example, after 9/11, I've done a lot of work on the U.S.-Mexico border, and after 9/11, one of the panic attacks in Washington was that the border would become this soft entry point for terrorists into the U.S. using the smuggling routes that had been well established for smuggling migrants. And there hasn't been a single case of that since then, not for terrorists entering the U.S. for intention for terrorist activity in the United States. And part of the explanation, we're trying to figure out still why that's the case, but if you just think about the differing motives, the last thing in the world a human smuggling organization wants to do is to become target number one of law enforcement. You will be put out of business. I mean, you won't stop human smuggling, but basically nothing will draw attention more from the state than smuggling terrorists or weapons of mass destruction, for that matter. So I do think that there are some built-in limitations. It doesn't mean that terrorists cannot infiltrate borders masquerading as refugees or whatnot. That's real, though exaggerated. But there are some basic realities that inhibit, push back against closer and closer connections between terrorists and criminal organizations. Another is that terrorist acts themselves, things like the Madrid bombings or the Paris bombing, they're not that expensive, right? So you don't need, the 9/11 attacks didn't even require that much funding. So the degree which you need a huge criminal enterprise raising lots of illicit funds for your activity, it's fairly modest, to be perfectly honest. And again, it depends how you define terrorism. If you extend it to defining Afghanistan today, the Taliban trying to take back power, well then sure, a full-blown insurgency, you can't deny that the opium economy is hugely important, but actually the opium economy is hugely important on all sides, to be perfectly honest. And then if you actually extend, not to be too long-winded here, but to extend from terrorists to insurgents, obviously true, but then you have to basically distinguish between motive versus facilitation. The FARC in Colombia, for example, partially demobilized. Maybe that's going to change in the future. I mean, the FARC begins long before the cocaine boom in Colombia. And if you truly believe the analysis of it's all for profit and the FARC are drug traffickers, they would have never gone to the table in the first place if they're making so much money from the drug trade. And in fact, there's some evidence now that without jobs for FARC insurgents and so on, they're actually now going in full time into the drug trade in a way that they weren't quite full time before. But again, history matters here. George Washington, my founding father, basically funded his campaign. He's considered a terrorist and insurgent by the British with tobacco, which is a drug after all, so much so that the British would try to burn tobacco fields when they would try to track down the Continental Army. So just the importance of trade, of conflict commodities, goes back not just years and decades, but centuries. I mean, the rebellious Confederates basically lived on smuggled cotton. To Europe mostly, but also to the north. Today's lingo we call things blood diamonds. Well, we call it blood cotton if we had global witness back then.
Yes.